Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. In this episode, Chris Lillehei takes our conversation, All I Want for Christmas, in a different direction than you might have expected, helping us consider what we want for Christmas for the world around us. It's a potent space to wander within. So here's Chris. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Chris. I use he, him pronouns. I am a part of the Fabric community, and I just wanted to thank you all for being Fabric together this morning. It truly is an honor and a privilege to be able to start this conversation and hopefully have it continue in your lives moving forward. We are in the middle of a series about All I Want for Christmas. I don't know about you, but Mariah Carey has been swimming around in my head because of this for the last little bit here. Last week, Melissa started us off with talking about kind of setting the table for ourselves. So what does it mean to want things for ourselves, and especially as adults? And it was a really beautiful way of talking about who we are as humans, and that we get to have human wants, desires, and needs. And today we are going to be focusing on a very different type of desire, the desire for the world, the big ask, the thing that we really want the world to experience, whether it be an end to climate change or racism, homophobia, sexism, ableism, an end to all of the wars, to the famines, for everybody to be able to have food on their table. It's this big ask of the broader world, of the healing to come into the world that we are currently living into. And what does that mean for you and I? I have two temptations when it comes to this big ask. The first is that I either just think it's just too big of an issue, that it's just too massive, and all I want to do is just give up. Forget this, I'm moving on. Or the other temptation is I get consumed by it. I become the savior. I want to just heal the world myself and forget everybody else or every other thing. All that matters is my big ask and the way in which that I can provide for this big ask. As someone who struggles with anxiety, about 10 years ago, it was March of 2012. If anybody remembers that month, it was really obnoxiously warm. And my anxiety comes out in global climate change. And I discovered that in March when it was 80 degrees and I just started panicking. I had panic attacks, I was dry heaving, felt like I lost all control of the world. I'd never been to therapy before, and my wonderful bride might have suggested that that's something that I should go to. So I went to a therapist for the first time. And I remember going to this guy and saying, like, listen, this is the problem, that I'm just obsessed with the fact that the world is burning around us and I don't know what to do about it. And his wonderful suggestion to me was that I guess this is God's way of telling you to be a climatologist. Okay. Thank you for the laugh. I appreciate it. And for those that know me even more, I have no brains when it comes to science. Like, that is not my gift in life. So I walked out of that therapy meeting being like, okay, well, now I have to give up on everything that I ever dreamed about for my life, and now I have to be obsessed and consumed with global climate change. And it was horrible. So that's not quite what I want to talk about today, but I think it is a good adventure into kind of how do we experience these big asks. So what is the big ask for you? What's the big need that you put on your list for the world? What are you craving and desiring for this broken world that we live and experience? What is the one thing that almost feels embarrassing to ask for? Because it's just so enormous. I really want you to spend some time and think about what is that for you? This can feel hard because there's so much brokenness. In fact, it feels almost selfish to just pick one at times because I want to care about all of them equally. All of the isms, all of the brokenness, all of the hardships in this world. And if I commit to one of them, what does that say about all of the others? And so I have this theory, so stick with me for a second, that maybe this big ask actually tells you something about yourself. So let's move it forward a little bit. What does this want say about you? If this is something you truly desire and want for the world, maybe, just maybe, it's an insight into yourself in a new way, into the how you experience and understand the world. For many of us, it's kind of that outcome that we desire, right? It's the world peace. It's the end to climate change. It's the end to isms and phobias and all of those things. And yet, can we just stop for just a moment and slow down and ask, what's underneath this desire? So I'll go back to myself, right? The biggest example that I can think of is, again, that climate change question. So after going to better therapists that were more helpful for me, I started to break apart a little bit of what is that desire for me? What is that fear that I feel so consumed by? What is it telling me about myself? For me, it's about this desire to want to stay connected to people. The feeling of it being out of control, that some cataclysmic event is going to happen in our world and going to separate me from all the people that I love. And not only for me, but for my kids, for those that I love, for those that I don't even know, that there'll be this separation between all of us that leads to just horrific feelings of loneliness. And so maybe, just maybe, this desire for the end of climate change for me is much more about a hope for the world. To move from that place of being motivated by fear of what could happen that's out of my control to a big extent, to a movement towards hope, a movement towards understanding that maybe I can play my part in this journey. Maybe, just maybe, as a chaplain, I can be one who connects people to each other, connects somebody to themselves. Because I sure can't do the science part of it. That's not my gift. So, with this big ask, there's this tension that we get to live in. This tension of an audacity to ask. And the humility to know that I don't have to do it alone. I love this. I love this. The audacity. How dare you ask for these isms to change? And yet here we are. As a community, we commit to asking those questions. To, in a lot of us, devoting our lives to caring for the world around us. For bringing peace and goodwill towards everyone. And yet, this humility that we balance it with, the humility to know that it's not all about me. And in fact, I, Chris Lillehei, am not the savior of the world. Man, that's hard to say. That I don't have to be it. That you don't have to be it. That instead you are a strand that's woven into the broader existence of this universe. in ways that you can't even imagine. And what you have to do with that life is just show up. To have the audacity to be here in your full, true selves. What a wonderful gift. In this season of Advent, historically, it's been the church talking about what it means to have God with us, Emmanuel. And to me, that's about God showing up. That as we talk about it in fabric terms, it's the third strand. The first strand being ourselves, the second being our community, and the third being this thing that we call God. To realize that God shows up alongside of us and gets to interact, we get to co-create with this creator of the universe in some amazingly beautiful ways. And yes, we can be angry at the thought that it's not just a flip that's switched, right? These desires are legitimate. They are important. They are life-changing. And we can bemoan the fact that it's not a flip that got switched to turn off starving children, to turn off the isms and the phobias that are alive in me and alive in this world and alive around us. We can be frustrated by that. And we get to co-create. Part of this process is that both grief and joy are part of what it means to participate. What I mean by that is that we get to deeply grieve the fact that this healing hasn't happened already. That maybe it's not going to happen for my lifetime. We get to cry and cry out to the fact that the brokenness of this universe exists. And it's not we get to grieve so that we get to do something about it. Grieving is, in fact, doing something about it. And just as importantly, we get to experience joy. Just because this healing hasn't happened yesterday doesn't mean we get to experience the fact that joy is around us. Because why do we want these things, right? We want these things because joy matters, because hope matters. It's not so that we're robots and that we can solve one problem and move on to the next. It's that we're humans and we get to experience life and the joys of life. So somehow those are deeply interconnected in this process, and they happen at the same time. If we forget about the joy or the grief, we forget about the space it means to embrace this present that's sitting under this tree for us. We forget about the ability to really experience what it means to live this life. As I was kind of talking about this message and I brought it forward to one of my coworkers, and we had a really beautiful conversation about it. And she had this kind of aha moment that pointed her towards a quote that really stuck with me. And it's this quote by Rabbi Tarfon, I believe is how you pronounce the name. "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you are you free to abandon it." Whew. That part of that quote might sound familiar to some of us. It's kind of a riff on Micah 6:8. We've talked about it in Fabric as a community a little bit, and in fact, it's my wife and I's kind of marriage verse that we've centered our lives around. And I think the way that this rabbi took it is just so beautiful, so practical, so important to understanding, what does that mean for me now? What does that mean for you? As you experience the ups and downs of the world, as you experience this desire for healing, for safety, for others, what is that asking of you? To me, it's this balance, once again, this tension to live into, of this really absurd self-assuredness that what I do actually matters in the world. I mean, that's a pretty wild thing to think about. That me, one out of 8 billion people, I don't do numbers, a lot of people in this world, that my life matters? That what I do actually matters in this world? That's wild. And in the same breath, it's the humility to know that it doesn't have to be all about me. I'm off the hook. I get to participate, but I don't have to complete it. And let me just say, this is much easier said than done. This is a struggle that I consistently work with in my own life. Because man, oh man, sometimes it would be nice to just be the savior. To just fully complete all of the work. To be the hero of the story. To not have to rely on anybody else. And then at other times, I feel like the scum of the universe. That I recognize my own phobias, my own racism, my own destructive nature of leading to climate change that happens inside of me. And man, oh man, I just feel worthless. So how do we keep both of those? How do we keep a hold of that and embrace this present? And so part of this gift is that we get to celebrate. Yeah, we get to celebrate. You know, my favorite thing about Christmas is when a little kid opens a new toy and all they want to do is celebrate with you. They just have this joy on their face and they're just saying, don't you just admire what is this toy? This is amazing. My life has changed. How beautiful is that? And we get to do that with one another. As we work in different sections and different areas of what it means to bring healing to the world, we get to celebrate each other's. I don't know about you, but at times I feel tempted to judge other people when it comes to their work in healing. Because they don't care about what I care about. Their ism isn't the same ism that I'm focused on. And so I can just feel myself saying, you knucklehead, you're caring about the wrong problem here. The problem that really matters is the one that I have. What are you doing spending your time over there? And yet, if we really do commit to this woven nature of the universe, maybe we just get to celebrate in the fact that that healing happens in ways that I can't understand or imagine. I remember when the pandemic started and just kind of being freaked out about everything and not understanding this virus at all or my place within this virus. And once again, Jenny's always the hero of my stories. So she kind of rooted me to this of saying, like, Chris, think about the fabric community that we're a part of. And stop and think about all of these incredibly smart people that are doing incredible things to stop this virus in ways that I can't even imagine. The experiments, the caring for patients, the sitting in hospital beds, sitting and holding the hands of the sick. And I was just humbled to know that I get to be a part of this community that is working to heal the world in ways that I can't even imagine. And I get to celebrate that. It's not a competition. Instead, it's this beautiful community that means more than I can ever imagine. And I think it matters that I know names of people that are doing stuff that I don't understand. I get to be in community alongside scientists and doctors and nurses and social workers and teachers and incredible people who are providing for and caring for and loving on this world in ways that I don't fully understand. And that's part of this gift. In fact, it is the antidote to those two concerns that I had about this big ask. Because if I understand and recognize and love people that are working towards the healing, I get to celebrate along with them. I don't have to be the savior. And I don't have to feel like I'm just this single strand floating through the universe, not connected to anything else, where everything relies on me. I get to have people that can encourage me and support me and love on me, no matter where I'm at in my process. And to me, that's truly beautiful. So again, I want to extend that invitation to you all. That in your own way, in your own expertise, in your own knowledge, that you're invited. Now becomes kind of the hard part. Is if you really have a desire for this peace to come, for this thing to change, how are you willing to change for the peace to come in? Because yes, we can struggle with the fact that it isn't a light switch that turns on and off with the hurts of the world. But the reality is that we contribute to the pain in ways that we don't even imagine. And so what does it mean for you to open this present, to be invited in, to get to share in the healing of the world? How do you get to be changed? How do you get to experience this internally? Knowing that you don't have to be the be-all or the end-all or get it all right or change immediately, that you get to be part of the process of what it means to be changed. So I'll leave you with that.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.